In this episode of COL Drag Race Tea Time, we are reaching the final lap, kitty girls. It's the finale of All Stars 3, and the Cubs are ready to spill all the tea. From the live performance to the jury twist, find out who snatches the crown in the end and joins the Drag Race Hall of Fame. Get your life and prepare to be shook as COL Drag Race Tea Time All Stars 3, Episode 8, starts now.
RuPaul Drag Race.
Hey, kitty girls, it's March 20th, 2018, and I want to welcome you to Cubs Out Loud Drag Race Tea Time, All Stars 3, episode number 8, aka the finale, or properly titled A Jury of Their Queers. Imagine that. So for those of you that might not know, my name's Gary. I'm one of the co-hosts here with Cubs Out Loud, and with me are my two fantastic, freakaliciously fabulous co-hosts.
Hey everyone, it's Damon. Hi, how are you doing?
I am Chester. Oh, wait, I forgot something. Hang on.
What?
Pause for dramatic effect.
Oh! Yay! It's so cute.
Not gonna work with my headphones.
Oh no.
It's cute though.
It won't fit. Is that shit leather?
Yes.
Bitch, look at you.
Go ahead. Crown it.
I don't know what to say.
It's just like Bendela's. Although I don't know if it's exactly like it, but it looks pretty damn close.
I wasn't thinking of her. I was thinking of Sasha Velour from when she entered in season 9.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to do a really long, drawn out scream that unhinges people and they don't know how to process that.
Okay, yeah. I'll work on it later.
Yeah. You're fine. We'll get that in the second take.
Nice. We'll get that in the second take. Something like that. Unfortunately, I don't have the proper clip already set up for this next part, so I apologize. Bad producer on my part. But we got feedback.
Woo!
From our last episode, COLDR AS3 episodes 6-7, because we combined them together, Mike A on YouTube said, "Totally agree with Gary. Respect to Shangela because she is funny and talented and deserves the crown if she wins, but," butts in capital letters, "that fat suit was a total stunt. She's a stunt queen, always pulling out stunts in her lip syncs. I think Sasha set a precedent with those rose petals under the wig last year and the glove. Sorry, under the glove and wig. If you want to win, you got to have a gimmick. Team Trixie all the way, but if Shangela wins, I won't be mad. Great show, guys. You are definitely one of the better recap shows. Miss Chester, but Brady's nice to look at." Winky emoticon. Love you guys.
That's sweet.
That was very nice. I was like,
yeah.
I was like, I don't know who you are, but thank you, Mike. We appreciate it.
I appreciate that. We missed Chester too last week.
Aww. We did. It's a little odd trying to do this, the tea time show, when one of us is out and we bring, don't get me wrong, I love all our guests coming on, but there's this like kind of catch up like thing when, hence we moved to Tuesday night tonight because it's a finale discussion, and Damon, we wanted you to be here for that because I'm sure you got something to say.
No, I can't possibly have
it's
like
just family tonight.
I can't have like a kettle of tea brewing like already over here, like just waiting.
Like that teapot that Mike Q put up, the one with like the 6 spouts.
I put that up.
Oh, you did? I thought Mike did. Like when you got all the tea pour.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Well, let's get ready to move on to our first section of our show.
Cover girl, put the bass in your walk. Cover girl,
All right, so these are our thoughts on the episode. It's the finale. We reached the end, the final lap, all that shit, bitches. Flag's gonna furl. Chester, lead us off. What are your thoughts?
So I just want to say that we did not need a twist for the end of the show. Okay. Well, actually, maybe we did need a twist, but not the one that we were given, because that shit was just awful. And we're gonna, I don't want to talk about it yet, because I'm pretty sure we're all gonna say the same thing during our closing thoughts section of the show. But yeah, it was just when it happened, and again, this is something I'm gonna bring up later in the show. When I watched it through the first time, I was just like, oh, okay, so that's a thing. But then all of a sudden we get all the, extra little tidbits of information coming from the Queens after the show has been aired, and it just makes a whole mess of nonsense on why they did it this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also think it explains something that we're going to get to later in our comments about why things happen on the calendar the way they are. Like, I think this is the way to put that. Ooh, girl, I saw that coming from miles away. I didn't even need to be at the start line of the 10K because I saw the finish line. Like, I knew how that was going to, I knew how it was going to end.
Yeah.
Preparation.
Yeah. Are you ready?
Yeah, Damon.
All right. I was shooketh. I was watching it live. I was sitting in the living room with Jim. We were watching it together. And like all the little things like shook me. And in not always a good way, but mostly like, what the fuck? This whole the main thing being the whole like jury thing that, as we know, is not something that has happened, or it's not something that has happened on Drag Race, but it is something that has happened on reality shows before. A jury picking something or doing something in regards to the finale is nothing new. If you watch Big Brother, that's pretty much how they decide the winner. So it's nothing new. I think, however, the way that they did this is it's not the greatest way, and especially what we know now. So like Chester was saying, we'll talk about it later, a little bit more later, but like the things that we know kind of now and hearing what has been going on, it's leaving a bitter taste in my mouth, not because of who won, but more along the lines of like how it happened and how that could potentially, like, hate to say it, flaw the winner. Like it's put the winner in a unlike other seasons, it's put the winner in a position where they're probably going to have to now defend their quote unquote win. Yeah. And that I don't like.
Yeah.
But other than that, like I was shook. It caught me by surprise, totally by surprise. And because I think I had in my head this idea of what was going to happen, and that definitely wasn't what I was expecting.
Right.
And so, yeah. For those who don't know, yeah, go ahead.
What?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I have two comments on thoughts on this episode. The first one is live one shot. Because I watched it live and I'm like, oh, they recorded it live. That makes sense.
Yeah.
but I'm pretty sure there was a cut, and that bugged the hell out of me because I was like,
well,
that really makes it not look so live all of a sudden.
So the cut, I don't know about that. There's one cut like near the end that I know of because they literally went from one camera to another. Mm-hmm. That camera did not have time to go from the back of the stage to the front of the stage with enough time. And also there was, I don't know where like Ross and Michelle and Carlton. Carson were, but they probably did not have time at all to get from where they were to sitting in their seats very nicely for
It's not like they finale. Just rushed in there and were suddenly out of breath.
Yeah, they're literally like sitting there like well, they're like their judges, and I'm like, oh well, right. That's it.
Yeah, so I from my understanding, everything I've seen now that the finale's done and there's all these post-show interviews and videos. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's come out since Thursday night. I believe that it was a live one shot. Trixie, I really recommend, I didn't put it in the document, but I will, a link to Roscoe's in Chicago. They do a live like view of the finale. Willem and Trixie are there and they are the guests and they watch the finale and the announcement and stuff. And then Trixie spills a lot of tea. Like she talks about like the production. They spent two whole days rehearsing that live thing. I mean, just, it was one shot, like one deal, you know, blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. So it was very interesting to hear a lot of like her insight on how the sausage got made, so to speak.
So it was technically one take, but maybe not one camera.
Right. And that was the part that I had a problem with, is that I wouldn't have questioned the liveness of it if they had set that camera up to travel from backstage to front. Like if they'd put it on a track on a dolly, you know what I mean, or whatever, and just swung that sumbitch out to the front of the tee.
Yeah. Like,
to catch the transition from backstage to front stage. That area, though, I do believe was live. Because my jaw dropped to see them like do the stuff that they were doing. And then I was freaking out because I am literally watching Trixie Mattel run for her life through the set to get to their next mark. And I was like, these bitches are hoofing it in heels. Like, literally running.
I was afraid that her hair was going to like pop off at some point.
There's much that was bouncing. There, I think I agree with you about the running in the heels and whatnot. Because there was a couple of, if you look at it closely, there are definitely a couple of like oops, like are like flubs and stuff. Because one of them was the boxes when they like burst through and it's the four of them. Like you could tell like Kennedy was like, oh shit.
and Trixie briefly got blocked by a box. Like,
yeah,
they had to break through the boxes and then continue through. And for about a second and a half, I got worried because Trixie was probably going to have to jump over a box.
Yeah.
And instead, like a path kind of opened. She was able to walk around or whatever. Mm-hmm. But there was that. It's not in my snaps and eye rolls, but I'll talk about it now. I am really irritated with BB because when she had her segment, like, I get it. She's not a dancing queen, whatever. So she sits behind a fucking sewing machine and does like fabricography, whatever that bullshit was. And, you know, but what pissed me off is she gets out from behind there and then she does a couple of dance moves. She got a fucking black body briefer on underneath her gold outfit. Oh, I was so pissed. I was like, wait. If it was live and I had a DVR, I would have hit pause on my remote and been like, and screen capped that shit and immediately posted it and be like, you are a crowned winner. You do not show up to this thing wearing black undergarments. You either have nude that matches like your skin tone or something, or like matching to the color of your. Oh, I was so pissed. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? You're trying to win a second crown and this is how you show up to the game. No, no, no. I was already pissed enough about your fucking like nylons and how like they were the sheer or whatever the fuck that shit is, and they're shiny. And like that stuff annoys the fuck out of me. I'm like, no, legs aren't shiny. Stop making your shit shiny. Learn to put proper amounts of like tights and pantyhose on. That's just personal preference. So, because like, to be honest, her nude stuff kind of looked pretty good. And then on the right hip, she's doing the dance thing and the black brief. Like, I was like, And I was like, and I was like, well, that actually kind of shows how live it is, because Bishop did not obviously.
They would have been like, wait, cut. Let's fix that shit.
Yeah.
Tape that shit down.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, so it was the only reason why I crushed the liveness of it. It was just that one moment. I can't remember quite where it was, but I think it was from backstage to front stage or something. It's like they switched camera and there was just the briefest second, or not even a full second. It was just so brief. And I thought, if there's a cut, this is where the cut has occurred, but I don't know for certain.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
So the live one shot, I kind of raise an eyebrow about, and I'm just going to call it out now because we have not discussed it for 7 episodes so far of Tea Time. So I'm spilling it now, girl, about that rumor.
This isn't
jumping ahead or anything. Rumor before the season starts is that there is a twist, there is a thing, and people are going to lose their ever living mind. So, but it's not Bendela leaving, and it's not even the jury coming back element. Rumor was, and apparently was just a rumor, it was never proven true, Bibi Zahara-Benet was never really a contestant. The rumor was she was a mole and that she was actually going to be at the finale pulling aside, or Rue was going to ask her to actually maybe join the panel of contestants or the judges or some shit and like actually help select the final winner. That never happened.
Oh, no, no. No.
So Bibi Bibi was a Final Four contestant. And then fucking spoiler alert, whatever. She obviously didn't win. So
yeah. Well, no offense. If you are listening to this episode, you probably know by now that who won. And if you were watching, no, if you didn't watch the episode live, you knew within
60 seconds.
2 minutes. Yeah. Minute or less. Because that's how quick it got out there.
I will say this. Logo, VH1, World of Wonder. I hold all three of you in cahoots, like collaboratively together, responsible for spoiling that shit. Because you fucked up in your social media campaign. Because no sooner than the episode was over, as usual, John Pauly's Extra Lap Recap posted to YouTube literally the minute the show ends. It has all season. It's like clockwork. That wasn't a problem because in his video, John Pauly says, spoiler alert, you know, they put the big siren and all that kind of shit on. But in Facebook, the fuckers spoiled the finale from East Coast to West Coast because within 2 to 3 minutes, they posted who the winner was and congratulated them on Facebook.
Oh, fuck that.
And I saw that in the Facebook feed and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? It's not my friends. It's not people I'm connected to on Facebook that spoiled it. It's them. They actually screwed the pooch on that royally. I was so irritated. I was like, you guys are really asshatting this.
it was just a weird thing. Like I wasn't expecting to be. Actually, I was expecting to be spoiled, but I intentionally said, I already watched it, so I'm not really spoiled. So I'm not worried about it. But I was more concerned about people who we know who don't watch the show live or can't watch the show live. So I was like, oh, well, I hope no one says anything. Well, literally, I had friends that were at the bar that posted it pretty quickly. I had friends who were on Facebook and whatever. I had tweets of the response within like minutes. And that's the, you know, it sucks. But again, like Bianca said, don't get on social media if you don't want to be spoiled. And I kind of agree with that. But for the most part, most people have been pretty, especially this season, have been pretty good about keeping hush hush and not spoiling too much. This episode, I guess, since it's the finale, they're like, well, fuck it. I don't care anymore.
Yeah. Okay. And that's part of the problem, I think, that people are... I think their feeling on it is like, if you're invested to the finale, like, that's just how it is. And if you don't want to, then you probably... Like Bianca was saying, like, just don't be on social media. Like, disconnect all your shit.
Yep.
Perhaps.
Yeah. I was at work. I couldn't, there was nothing I could do about it.
Yeah.
But, I opened up Facebook on my way home from work, and that was the first thing I saw at, like, 9:02 p.m. Mm-hmm. That was the first thing I seen.
So, oh, well, it happens. But, again... You know, so congratulations, spoiler alert, Trixie Mattel on winning RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars season 3.
Yeah. We ready to move into snaps and eye rolls?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Definitely.
The time has come to lip sync for your legacy. Good luck. And don't fuck it up.
I have a question. Do you think Rue fucked up that line right there? Because last year, I distinctly remember her saying, you know, the time has come to lip sync for your legacy. Or no, she said lip sync for your life and then screamed, God, I miss saying that. So I was expecting... But she didn't.
Oh, well.
I think when she said that was the first episode of season 9, because it was meant to be a call out because she had been saying it.
It was the finale episode of All Stars 2.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Nope.
In there.
It was in the, when Tatiana and Alyssa lip sync for their life to come back into the competition.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Could be wrong, but that's what I think of. I'll have to look it up.
Yeah.
I thought it was the last episode.
It might have been too. Actually, she may have said it then because they technically would have been then.
Yeah.
Because it's the.
But I have to agree, Chester, in recollection, though, that was a funny-ass line. Like,
God, I was saying that.
Yeah. So, Chester, what are your snaps and eye rolls?
My snaps go out to all the extras that were not aired that people find online and share with the rest of the world who don't see it. Because, mm-hmm. you know, if you're somebody like me, I don't really go digging for more information about the show. I will watch Raja and Raven do their toot and boot.
Mm-hmm.
I will watch Whatchapackin' with Michelle Visage. Mm-hmm. Once in a while, I might catch the extra lap. But mm-hmm. short of that, I don't really go digging for more information. So... I'm thankful that I have such a great collective of friends who watch this, who invest time looking and digging for those little bits of information, or our Telegram chat that we have constantly going, where people link stuff there constantly. They're like, ooh, girl, did you see this? And then we get a small little tidbit of something that happens. Particularly, and this is, I think I could talk about this. Particularly, the one that I found most important was with Chi Chi, This was recorded after the final episode had aired, and the audio is a little messed up, so I can't tell if somebody asked her a question or not, but Chi-Chi explains who she picked first and second for the lipsticks. Mm-hmm. And then she followed all of that up with a little bit more insight on how the voting was a little, to me, a little shitty.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say that is because Chi-Chi goes in and says that she picked Trinity as her first lipstick. And then she picked Trixie for her second lipstick and explained why. And that was very sweet of her to say why. And then she followed it up. But I left on episode 4 and I didn't see the rest of the episodes. I didn't know Shangela did all of the things that she did. Had I known, I would have voted differently. And just mm-hmm. that little like 40-second clip of Chi-Chi explaining that mm-hmm. made my idea of the entire finale episode and why I said, no, we didn't want that twist. Yeah. Why that twist was very wrong to have done.
Right. Yeah.
So my snaps go to all those little extras that we are finding out about
mm-hmm.
after the show has been aired.
So, yeah. So I'm going to just, because I'm a fan of, like, we had in our Telegram chat, we had Chris Iorio, who gave a really good, like, kind of explanation. And I'm kind of going to piggyback a little bit on that. One of the shows I watch pretty religiously is Big Brother. Mm-hmm. And in Big Brother, how they choose the winner is you get to the final two, and those last like 7 or 9 usually are the ones that pick the winner. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, yes, every person that's in the jury has been eliminated at some point in time. However, what they do is when an eliminated person comes into the house, they get a CD of competitions and votes. Like they don't get all the other stuff, but they get like little bits and pieces of just enough to give you an idea of what has happened while they've been out. So that person who left the house first but is still on a jury gets to see a little bit. They don't get to see everything, but they get to see a little bit of what's been going on. They get to find out who won the competition, who won in this their thing. They have a veto thing. They do the meetings of those, and then they do, you know, the elimination, the vote. So they know all of that. Not knowing that information, even though that's just a little bit, I think would skew how a person judges.
Right.
How they're, you know, the competition. They also, in Big Brother, the contestants get the jury gets an opportunity to ask the contestants questions. The final two in that case. And those can sometimes sway how the person votes.
Mm-hmm.
So while in Drag Race, we got, in All Stars, we got a jury of your queers, as we said. They didn't get to see as far as we're hearing what we're hearing. They didn't get to see from when they left to when they, you know, they all came back at, you know, episode 5 or 6, you know, they all came back, but then they didn't see anything before that. And they didn't get to see anything after that.
Right.
And that's just, I don't know how I feel about it. I think that's, I agree with you, Chester. I think that's kind of shitty. Like, you don't get to see, they don't know what's been going on.
Right.
So they're not, I mean, they may know who's won. They may know, you know, why the people that were eliminated, but they don't get to see. Like, maybe they don't know who said what or whatever. And the only way they can talk about it is from the eliminated person's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get to see everything else.
No, and I agree. Chris's comment, it's not so much an article, but it's like Chris does quality control for video games. So gaming is his life, and thinking about the components of gaming, how gaming works, how you get rewarded, how you win, how you lose, all that stuff. So that's his mindset. Like, professionally, he does that. And then when it comes to being a Drag Race fan and liking, and he's a huge Big Brother fan, I believe. Mm-hmm. So for him, like, yeah, like knowing that the contestants, because I don't watch Big Brother, but I have friends who do, and I've watched an episode with them. Understanding, you know, that there's these competition pieces, and then you get head of house and blah blah blah. Like, yeah. It's interesting to hear Damon that, like, you know, they got to see stuff, because when that video came up and I ended up watching it, I was like, this completely changes the finale for me, and why the jury voted the way it did, because handful of them, if not at least half of the six, did not, I think, fairly know what took place during the competition when they made that vote.
Mm-hmm.
And so that understandably can skew your perspective about who should be going to final two.
Exactly.
And
while I like, one of the things I noted for I liked Kennedy's, when she was talking to the jury, I liked her responses, and they were very powerful. It was something that I hadn't realized about her that made me like her more. Mm-hmm. Whereas I've not always been, I love Kennedy when she performs. I love Kennedy when she's on stage doing her thing.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I'm not the biggest fan of Kennedy. She's a nice person in some aspects, but she's very in her own head kind of thinking. She has her ways, and that's the way she thinks it is, and that's it. Like, there's not going to be much to change her mind. And her kind of giving a little bit about that and a little bit about her, what she wants to do, and why she needs this, to be frank, I could see why, again, not having the full picture, you might be a little bit more sympathetic to Kennedy.
Right. And I can understand that. I personally am not a fan of Kennedy's, like, I need this. I think part of her plea to the jury was, Shangela does not need this. She has a career. Obviously, Trixie does not need this. She has a career. Like, and so, you know, like, pleading that case makes perfect sense to me, to say, like, out of the four of us as finalists, one already got a crown, already won. Yeah. One has a career already, is doing big things, is about to be in two movies that are going to come out this year. And the other one already has a career, had a number one album on iTunes, has a TV show. You know what I mean? Like, so when you rack up all this stuff outside of Drag Race, they look very successful, which I'm still kind of mixed on whether or not that should be a factor as to whether or not you win, because Drag Race isn't about your accolades when you come into it. It's about how you perform at Drag Race.
Uh-huh.
In a normal season, nobody goes running around and giving a shit about, when you're a new contestant joining the Drag Race family, about how many pageants you've won, how many titles you've got, how far you've traveled, how big your fan base is. No one gives a shit about that. It's about how you perform right then and there. And as Michelle says consistently, time and time again in interviews, you can hate me, you can bitch at me, you can not like the way I judge, but you have to know you have a lot more information than I do. I literally only have what I get to see. So if I don't direct or get involved, I only see what happens on the runway.
Mm-hmm.
You're only as good as your last drag performance.
Yeah. So that's part of the, you know, one of the things that I think was interesting. So I agree with you, Chester. Like, a lot of the extra stuff that people have shared is kind of helpful. And that's why I put that video of the Roscoe's thing. I was working on some other stuff, and I had it playing, streaming on my TV from YouTube, and I was watching it and listening, and I was like, and to the video, when I put the link in, they cut out every time they go to commercial. So it's literally just like they're showing when they're live, when they're in between on commercials, not like a play by play, because nobody's doing anything when the show's airing. Like,
yeah,
but it's people in a bar, and the camera's fixed. It's pointed towards the stage the entire time. And so it's Willem and Trixie and the host, and I can't remember who the host is offhand, but and they have a long conversation about a bunch of things in between some stuff, and then you get to the end, and then she, you know, Trixie's revealed as the winner and some of that stuff. So
there was another clip that somebody had posted, and it was a radio interview that Trixie was on. Uh-huh. And in the middle of it, she's explaining something, but she says the words, "Well, I remember and then she caught herself when, because she was about ready to say, "When I won Drag Race."
Or when I was an all-star.
And when I won All-Stars.
Yeah.
And the person interviewing her said, "Wait, did you just say you won All-Stars?"
Yeah, Larry Flick did not let that go by.
And it was only like a 10-second clip, but it was enough to be like, "Oh, how the fuck did you know already?"
So, yeah, and that's where I'm debating in my mind how authentic the knowing and the not knowing is, because the way the Roscoe's thing airs from the live, you know, finale, and Trixie talks, she says she did not know until literally it airs that she won. Like, it's a real, it's like the real season where, like, they, she didn't outright say they record multiples, but I kind of wouldn't be surprised if they actually recorded Kennedy and Trixie both winning.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, I'm pretty sure they did. I have no doubt about that.
What I'm waiting for is, I would like if I could find video of Kennedy. But according to Trixie, Kennedy was in Australia when the finale aired. So she wasn't even in the U.S. when the finale aired to know whether or not she won. So that's where I was like, well, that shoots another hole in making it look a little more like Swiss cheese than what I was thinking. Because if I was going to be possibly a winner of the finale of the All-Star Season 3, why the fuck would I be in Australia? Like that's just me.
You're not going to see it live.
Like, well, because my thing is, I get that you got a gig, girl, and you're going to travel internationally, and that's probably some serious coin. But still, if you think you possibly won, wouldn't you want to be like at your home bar or at the bar that pays you the most stateside, that wants, like, you're asked to be there for the finale if you think you might win? So that's where I'm like, I'm very 50-50 on it. There are different camps that say Trixie always knew. She's known from the very beginning. There's the whole spoiler that the Pop Vinyl Dolls fucked up and gave it away that Trixie was the winner, because Trixie and Alaska and Rue are the only three, I think, that have those dolls.
Correct.
The figures. And so everybody was like, "Oh, that gives it away, blah, blah, blah," you know. And I thought, maybe. But, you know, Trixie said in interviews when asked about that, that she'd been working on that for years. So is it a lie? I don't know. Like, I think it's very difficult. You know, there's been some discussion about, you know, they have NDAs and they can get in trouble and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I realize, like, we're taking away from you, Chester, as a quick sidebar. There's also a lot of speculation because Katya has revealed that she's back.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, "Yay! Wait, hold up. Hold up. Girl, you said you could be gone for a year. It ain't been a year yet. As a matter of fact, you revealed that you're back and you're coming back as soon as All-Star Season 3 ended." So, right. Like, people are making heyday of that. And I kind of don't blame them, because I was like, as discussed off air previously, another rumor as to why Katya disappeared from the scene was because Katya knew what happens during the season and just stepped away.
Yeah.
And in a way I thought, well, that's how you avoid spoiling anything or being the center of attention of anything, is to just step the fuck out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, "I'm not going to do any gigs. I'm not going to be anywhere. I'm not going to do any interviews," like, just completely disappear from the arena, so to speak, for a while. And because Katya and Trixie are such close friends, if it really was known ahead of time that Trixie won, and not Kennedy, and Trixie did tell Katya, and Katya didn't feel that she could keep that bottled up or keep it secret or whatever, then yeah, I could see you just like go into a black hole basically. And
yeah,
it's just, it's crazy fucked up.
Yeah.
Right. That she's like, I'm coming back. And everybody's like, hey, oh yeah. Wait. Hey.
It's too coincidental.
Yeah.
Like, and that's going to be the thing. It's too, you announce you're leaving right around, like literally within like days of All-Stars 3 starting.
Right.
And then as soon as All-Stars 3 is done, you're back.
Yeah. I think it's Tatiana. I think one of the queens did say in an interview that she has been in touch with Katya every week this whole time, like since she kind of was struggling. Oh, Violet Toshke, that's right. She's like, I talk to Katya every single week. She's doing much better. Like, so I don't doubt that she needed a break, and I don't doubt that she struggled with some things. Knowing that she, you know, is in recovery, and you know, the drag scene is not a scene that you can avoid that kind of stuff. Like, you know, Michelle has flat out talked about it. She's like, the girls party when they tour. She's like, they go, they drink, they trick, they do all sorts of shit. She's like, and some of them can party hard and still put on a good show. But they're young, like, you know, and I think Katya, you know, understandably could struggle a little bit with that. So there's so much extra stuff. Yeah, no, I totally agree that a lot of it is very helpful. So Chester, your eye rolls.
So my eye rolls were for the eliminated queens and when they came back for, you know, to do their voting and basically sit there and act like judge and jury of the remaining four queens. What the fuck were they all wearing?
Okay, wait.
God damn, those were some ugly fucking looks.
Wait, which ones? Because I don't think they were all bad.
Well, they sure as fuck weren't good.
I beg to differ. I was living for Ben de la Creme in that red number with that crazy ass hat. Oh my God. I was like, oh, she is channeling like a new vibe of Mae West. Yeah. Like, yeah. And as Trixie said about the hat, she was like, Ben didn't have a wig on. She's pretty sure Ben just had her own hair. And she said, and Willem said in response, well, fuck, if you're going to be done up in drag for a whole fucking day and you don't have to wear a wig, don't wear a wig. Just like wear a long gown and don't wear heels, you know, or don't wear pantyhose or, you know, like if you could get away with not tucking and doing a whole bunch of shit, don't do it. And that's what cracked me up. So no, I honestly, that was the one out of all the returning queens that I liked. I thought Chi-Chi looked nice, but it was Chi-Chi. I thought Morgan looked a little dressed down. And I don't know what the hell Thorgy was wearing. Like those weird aqua orange Dorito earring things.
I think she was trying to channel Lady Gaga. It's the only thing that I can think of. Lady Gaga from the telephone video.
She failed.
That was it.
I thought she was channeling something out of like, and this is not the right way because I am not a good person to reference this. I thought it was out of like an 80s Devo pop video or something. I was like, I'm not sure what's inspiring this, but this is okay. Yeah. It's a look.
I hated Milk's look.
Yeah,
it was just.
Oh my God, Milk and Aja's look.
I get like, oh, you're out of the box and blah blah blah, and you're different thinking and whatever. It just looked ugly and terrible, it was a macrame or whatever crocheted like body with the breast, and then you had just like fucking torso pulled out, and you had this what the fuck was on your face? Like, get the thread off your face. I get what you're going, but no, I don't like it. It looks stupid. Get it off. Take it off because it was on your lips, and I'm looking at you while you're talking, and it was on your eyes, and it looked like no. Take that shit off.
The bodysuit didn't bother me, or the crocheted body I thought was funny, especially because they were crocheted tits that were not covered at all. I thought it was funny. And it was like, okay, Milk, I get it. It was just the rest of it was just really bad, especially like the yarn, like all up in her lips and stuff.
Yeah.
I just, I hated it. And then Aja, which I understand what Aja was going for. She was kind of trying to look like the devil. I get it. It was just too much of things everywhere. The only thing of Aja's look that I liked were her fingers, especially when she was doing this. That's it. That's the only part of that whole outfit that I liked were her,
their outfits were
Alaska looking claws.
They were very, it was very just odd. And I get that they weren't supposed to be, you know, glamorous or whatever, but on the same token, they could have done something else, like anything else.
And I had said it yesterday. I don't know if it was on our actual recording or not, but I know that I talked about how I had seen a meme of an interaction between Wreck-It Ralph and Satan, and how Wreck-It Ralph said, "Thanks, Satan." And instead of it being Satan who says, "It's actually Satine," it was a picture of Aja going, saying, "It's actually Aja." And I thought that was funny.
Cute. Yeah. Yeah, their final looks as the returning queens, some of them I was like, like, I understand that people do not like Milk's look, that one specifically, or her aesthetic in general. It's very outside the box and arts and artistic and weird ways. And but at first I was like, what the fuck is she wearing? But then the closer I paid attention, I was like, oh, the whole thing is meant to be representative if she was made of yarn or thread, hence the tears and the lips and the guts coming out of her like she had been murdered, hence the blood from the eyes. Like, I think it was very artistically cerebral, and that's part of the issue is if there's no context, you're just like, what the fuck is that?
Like, and that is where I was.
Yeah, so I'm not trying to defend her. I was just like, because at first all I saw of her was that fake knitted breastplate or whatever, and she's like walking and tweaking her own nipples or whatever, and I was like, what is going on? I was like, this is so fucked up. But like, then when I got like more of a distance shot and I paid attention and looked a little, I was like, oh, all right, I kind of see there's an aesthetic. It made me think of that moment from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the movie, where the improbability ship,
and they turn into yarn,
right? And so for a moment, everything turns into yarn, including the actors, and then they're throwing up yarn and
of yarn.
Yeah, I don't think that's where it came from, but yes, like conceptually, like I was like, that was what it made me think of right away, because I was like, where the fuck is this? Like, I don't understand. So anyways, yeah, so Chester, I can understand where you're like, what the fuck's with those looks.
I love, we got a comment in the live chat. I'm just going to read it now. As a yarn crafter, I admired the work that must have taken for Milk's clothing. Fair.
Like I said, I loved the top, especially with the tits out. I thought that was great. It was funny. It was Milk. I got that. It was just the rest of it felt very disconnected to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not my favorite Milk look, but it's a look.
It's a look. Choices.
Yes, I was going to say, as Tachi says.
Choices. That was a choice.
That was a choice.
It was. Damon, your snaps and eye rolls.
Okay, so I'm actually going to give snaps for the kitty girl, like, one shot, like, video song. You know, I loved everything that was a part of it, except a couple of flaws, which we've talked about already. Everyone did a really great job. I props to Kennedy for actually singing. When it first came through, I thought she was just starting it it was Rue singing. And I was like, wait, no, that doesn't make sense, because everyone was supposed to write their own little part. So I went back and listened to it, and I was like, oh, no, that's Kennedy singing. So props to her for like singing, as opposed to everyone else who kind of did like the like word rap kind of thing. But you know, everyone did a really great job. The video looks fun and you know spectacular. A lot of the dance moves were really great. All the like. When you're talking about extras, Chester, I thought you were going to mention, like, if you look, you'll see, like, some of the queens, like, Bendla's in there, and Dorji's in there, and I think a couple of the other eliminated queens. They show up. Like, you'll have to look at it.
Yeah, they're
like,
in there.
Oh. Yeah. And, I mean, there's other, like male dancer extras and girl, you know, there's extras all over doing the dance stuff. But it was really well done. I'm assuming that all the choreography was done by Todrick Hall, if not Todrick and someone else. But that kind of was really great, too, to kind of props to him for doing all of that shit. It wasn't a read you, wrote you kind of thing, but it was still, I think, very good. I think it was a really good, like, production. Yeah.
Yeah, the performance overall I thought was really great. The idea was good. I was living for Trixie's reaction when Todrick is explaining what's happening. So like,
yeah,
they're doing the stuff on the runway, rehearse, and BB can't fucking do a leg lift to save her life. You know, and we're going through all this shit, right? And then he's like, and then all of it's the way it's edited, but it almost seems like Todrick kind of snaps briefly, yeah, and is kind of like, okay, follow me. And like, so they leave backstage and then they go to the door and they open the big garage, you know, studio slide door or whatever. And so then they're standing there and he's explaining what they're going to do. And yeah, Trixie is losing her mind. And I thought she was like kind of panicky about that. And what I realized is that, no, she was like, this is going to be epic. Like,
yeah.
As in, we've got this big ass number to perform, yada, 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 continuous one live shot, you know, this, that. So, yeah, that really kind of that cracked me up. Mm-hmm. But I thought overall, yeah, the Kitty Girl song was good. The performances were pretty good overall. I've gone back and I've listened to the song about 3 times. I like it for the most part. Kennedy's is the part that I like the least with the lyrics. And actually, Trixie's could have used a little improvement, and it just is disappointing to me because it's like the last song of the season and it's meant to sell on iTunes and shit. And I'm like, I want to be supportive of it, but I feel like it was rushed, and it probably was for them. But there's a part of me that's like Kennedy makes a comment about like feeling it down all the way into your puss. I'm like, really? Puss? Did we have to use that P word? Like the first time I listened to it outside of the episode, immediately I was like, power. Like, there's all these other words you could have used in that very brief moment. But I get, like, if they really are writing their own lyrics, like, you can only do what you can do. So,
yeah.
I think overall it was good. And it was nice to have a twist on a song that, you know, we're all quite familiar with, so to speak. Pushed at us for the season.
All right. So, speaking of songs.
Oh, boy.
My eye rolls are actually for the finale Lip Sync for Your Legacy song. Wrecking Ball? Really? 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 Of all the songs in the world, this is the one we choose for the final two to perform to like win the crown.
Right.
And while the performance was good, don't get me wrong about that, It just wasn't a good song. Like I don't hate the song, but I just don't think it was appropriate for what we're doing at this point. Like it just didn't seem like a good choice in the matter. It was
I understand, David, your frustration, because when it starts on and I look at the bottom left and I look to see the caption, you know, the CG graphic caption tell us what the song is and who the artist is. Immediately, I was like, for real? Like, yeah, that's what they're lip syncing to? I was like, we didn't pick a Rue song. We didn't pick an empowerment song. Like, we didn't pick Who Runs the World. We didn't pick like, you know, I'm a survivor. Like, it was just, it was so weird to me. It was kind of almost like they switched up the song order and they got it wrong. I'm like, all right, now is the time you should be doing Deborah Cox, bitch. Like this should really be an empowered song. But even Trixie kind of says, like, knowing that the last song was a ballad was hugely helpful because you don't have to pull out a lot of tricks. Like, you kind of have to, like, you could choose what to do. And it was no shade to Kennedy. She's like, Kennedy does what Kennedy does. Kennedy dances. So she danced. I don't dance. So I did not dance. Like, I chose to pretty much stay and park it in one spot quite a bit, like, to just emote. And so I thought that was really interesting because I was like, yeah, for that kind of a song, like, what exactly are you going to do? Especially if you're not, according to Mike's feedback, a stunt queen like Shangela. Now, to read or no, to was it to read or to see what Shangela would have done in the finale lip sync?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow. That's very interesting. But again, it's a stunt. Like, and so some people have been blaming Sasha Velour ever since the rose petal incident, that people think that, like, now you have to have this artistic surprise wow factor thing to, like, prove your craft or something. And I'm like,
okay. All right. Okay. So here's some.
Wait a minute. I don't have the sound cue, but I think we're about to have a Jasmine Masters I got something to say moment.
I do have something to say. This is something very, like, important to me as a person who's done drag, a person who's in theater, and a person who, like, loves, like, performances. What works best is knowing the song and doing it well. Mm-hmm. Like, in my opinion. So all this extra shit sometimes is good. When Sasha did it, it was appropriate. The song kind of has this, if it was, it was, she was kind of crazy and whatnot, and it just kind of worked. You're not going to get the same feeling anymore, because no offense, it's been done, and it's been done to such a caliber that you're not going to do it. It's not going to get the same feeling anymore. No one can now pull a glove off or take a wig off and have rose petals fall off without someone going, oh, well, that's Sasha. Because in that moment, at that time, that was the shit. It was something amazing that you cannot be repeated.
Right. I think the similarity, Damon, you're saying is like Kennedy somersaulting onto a box.
Yeah.
Or Aja jumping off of a box and doing a split. Like once that's been seen, especially by millions around the world, you're kind of known for that thing. And anybody else that does it will now immediately be compared to that. So I get what you're saying.
And then, while in a performance, a dancing and whatnot is gymnastics is nice. There's a point where it becomes appropriate for the song. There's a point when it becomes, you're trying to steal focus and steal the spotlight. And that's usually my problem overall. If you're pulling too much focus and it's because you're doing something outlandish or gimmicky, what you're telling me is that you cannot rely on you just emoting the song. You can't rely on you just doing what most queens do.
Right.
Which is lip sync a song and give the emotion of a song and, you know, do things out. While gimmicks and dancing and what have you can work for certain things, they don't work all the time. Wrecking Ball is a very emotional song in and of itself. And when you do certain gimmicks, there's one person that I remember seeing, there was a video going around where the woman, the drag queen, opens up her dress and she's on a, literally on a ball, and she pulls some legs out and she has a chain and she's like hanging from the chain like she's a wrecking ball. Funny, gimmicky, but it worked only because in that moment she's being more, she's doing more comedy.
Mm-hmm.
She is doing more like emotion.
Right.
Having said that, if you can't get the emotion of the song. The one thing I liked about both performances, don't get me wrong, like I said, I hated the song. I liked the performances. I hated the song. Is that Trixie did a more emotional, like, grab at your heartstrings kind of performance of it, whereas Kennedy did a very interpretive, modern dance kind of take to it, which can be good enough in and of itself when it's done well. Mm-hmm. I kind of hate the fact that she went shootless, but I think there was a reason. There was a reason behind it. The what she was doing, it needed to be. She couldn't have done what she was doing within those in heels.
Right. And I mean, that was the first thing I noticed when they started up and Kennedy was moving backwards. So she's backing up and she's pointing her toes. And immediately mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, bitch took her fucking shoes off. I can't believe it. Because I was like, yeah. If there's anything that are kind of rules about lip syncs, everybody knows you do not take your wig off mm-hmm. unless you got another wig underneath.
Yes.
So you have to have a wig reveal. You don't pick people up and throw them.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to do a reveal, you best do it well. And so like the shoe thing, I was like, I don't know how I feel about the shoe thing. And I saw her performing and dancing and I get it. Like, I'm like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. But it harkens a little too close to the Chi-Chi shit from the beginning of the season with her, like, you know,
ugly flats.
Ballet
really shitty things. Ballet slippers.
Yeah.
Or whatever they were.
So, I mean, maybe Chi-Chi offered them to Kennedy and she was like, oh no, girl, I'm not making that mistake. Like, I'll just go barefoot. She's like, I'll have ashy feet on that stage before I put those shoes on or something.
Damn.
I don't know. But
yeah, that's kind of it for me. It was just, of all the songs in the world to pick, they picked that one. And Yeah,
I know. It was a little bit odd. I was kind of like, that's an interesting choice for the final song. Like, of all the songs in the world, you could have picked. I mean, they could have picked "I, a Woman, Hear Me Roar." I mean, I don't know. There's something about it.
There's so many things that could have been chosen, and they just went with this song. And I don't.
Yeah.
Bleh.
Who knows? Licensing. Weird.
Maybe. Who knows?
All right. So my snaps. I give snaps to Shangela. She did really well in the finale, and she answered relatively like well, I think, in terms of jury. Like, I wasn't mad at what she had to say, how she handled herself, and her runway look was astounding.
Yes.
That fucking gown, like, the instant she walked out, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, while I love Trixie dearly, I was like, all right, like, I hate to say it, but I was kind of like, it's over. Like, yeah, there's more to come, but like, I get it right now. Like, she literally has delivered to such a level. So, and then Shangela's comments when she finds out she's not top two mm-hmm. and she talks in confessional and she goes backstage, like,
yeah.
She handled that really well with a lot of grace that I think was just right. Like, and all I keep thinking is how heartbreaking that had to have been for her, because she was probably so certain mm-hmm. she was going to be lip syncing.
Yep. Yeah. I bet it probably hit her like heart. Because it was one of those things where you work so hard, and she did. She worked really hard, and I think she of the queen. I honestly thought she was going to win. Mm-hmm. Or I said last week I thought she was going to win, and only because of all the work that she has done, all the wins that she has had, and despite my feelings for some of the other queens, I felt like in the competition of itself, did the best.
Right. And I have to say this, when we were going into the final episode, I thought if everything's true, if the rumors are true, all of them, and Trixie really is going to win, I'm like, what the fuck does Shangela do to screw it up? Like, how mm-hmm. does she drop the ball and fuck it up for herself, because that's the only way I could see that she didn't win. Then we watch the episode and we see how it plays out, and I was like, oh, she didn't fuck it up. She really didn't. Like, she honestly played the game, like, did so well, and in theory, had Bendela not left, it probably would have been Bendela and Shangela going head-to-head in the end. If it hadn't kind of been for the jury and what took place with that. And so I was like, that's kind of crazy. And so looking back on everything she did over the course of the season, I was like, yes, like consistently, she made a point of standing out and not being forgotten and pushing boundaries in ways that hadn't been seen before. So I have to give her props. I mean, girl came down the runway in an inflatable ball. She came out in an outfit with red spikes that inflated. I mean, like, she came out as a thing of corn with the world's worst wig ever on this series. I mean, like, you know, she definitely did some notable stuff, but it was a little bit of a mixed bag. There was kind of some things like we talk about, and now she's kind of maybe being known as being a stunt queen, which is really surprising because Shangela is a dancer. So yeah. I don't know what happened that she, for some reason, I guess maybe was trying to break away from that. I don't know, but yeah, it was pretty interesting. So anyways, I want to give snaps to Shangela because she deserves all the recognition of working hard and busting her ass to make it to the end. My eye rolls. Girl, I was kind of hoping that one rumor was true because it might have redeemed BB if the whole thing was an act. Like, and you finally learn that actually she's been acting the entire season as this disconnected, like, whatever, like that the whole thing was actually not really her personality, blah, 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 blah. But no, the rumor is not true. I think BB is BB, and I don't like BB. I don't hate her. But I'm like, oh, I'm glad you're back now to get your one chance because we're done. We're done. D-O-N-E, all caps, bold font, 72 point, bitch. Even italic if you can't catch it. Done. Like, I got nothing for you now. Like, I really don't, because you came across so self-conceited. Like, it was just so weird to me. And even in jury, I was like, oh my God. All I kept thinking was, shut up. Like, don't say anything. Like, you're not helping your case at all. And granted,
out of respect for BB's career, I'm not going to say anything.
Oh, that shit. I was like, oh no, girl, that's not shade. I would give you the shade fan, but that's not shade. What I want to hand you is a shovel, because it really needs to be handed to BB. Like, that bitch just dug her grave.
Like, I know, I'm like, I will.
Thank you.
Oh my God. Like, the I agree with you, Gary. I wish that this was all like an act, a facade, to kind of like play this out where she's like, oh, I'm going to be on the, you know, I'm the mystery juror, or I'm whatever, you know, I'm playing this game, but I'm not really playing the game or whatever. Cause she, you know, the way a lot of the things she said were just very, just like conceited and like, what the fuck is up with you? Go ahead.
It kind of makes me upset that she wasn't a mole because of those reasons, for her being as conceited as she was. And on top of that, how many times she skirted by being safe?
Mm-hmm.
Because there were countless times where it's like, really, that's the best you can do? And you're not in the bottom?
Yeah. Yeah. It was one of those things, like, I was sitting there, like, going, like, if I now went back knowing the ending and watched all the season, which I can't because I have it on iTunes, I could, like, I would look at the beginning to the end and be like, start, like, what is this? What's going on here? Like, why did you stay? Because, like, I thought I did not, while I liked her Diana, Ross, I don't think it was the best. I don't think she should have been in the top in that episode. That was one, like, one of my, like, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. That was one of my weird, like, moments. Like, why is she in the top? All she did was, and while it was simple and Diana, we needed more. I wanted more. But anyway.
Yeah, so my eyes are for BB. I'm sorry. I just can't. And this is not to say that I don't support BB, but girl, there's just too much presumption, I think, on your part that you are such a gift or something.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's so weird to me because I'm kind of like, where does this come from? Like, there is confidence and then there's cockiness. And I don't think you have confidence. I think you're cocky. Like, you really somehow weirdly think your shit don't stink, and it does. Yeah. Like if we thought milk was a problem, girl. Like,
here's the way that I look at it. If you think that you were so good that you were just going to walk in there and snatch the crown without actually putting any work in.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was going to go with that.
You don't have to go any further. Because
don't have to go anywhere. That's good. That's done. We're good.
But that's the reality. She thought that that she was so good that she was just going to go in there and breeze through it. And yeah, she did. She breezed through the entire competition.
Mm-hmm.
How it is a fucking mystery.
Yeah.
It's again, like we said.
And that's part of why the rumor thing bugged the shit out of me, because when some stuff happened and I kind of raised an eyebrow in the back of my head, I'm like, well, if she really is the mole, like, they've got to figure out a way to keep her here. I mean, like, you know, there's just little things like that. And then we get to the final episode. Like, I think I put it in the Telegram chat. I was like, about that rumor. and I just left it at that because I knew people hadn't seen the finale yet and I didn't want to give it away. But there was a part of me that really wanted to say,
girl. I mean, could you imagine, I don't even know what I would have done if, like, she was in the top two. I don't know what I would have done. Like, I don't think she could have ever been, but, like, if something, like, miraculous happened, she shot herself in the foot when she pretty much didn't reveal, again, who she picked. And I'm just
pissed me off.
Yeah. I'm just like, come on.
Well, and, really, and Trixie said in the Roscoe's live, you know, finale recording that's on YouTube, she said she never revealed what that lipstick was. She said BB never revealed it. She's like, none of us honestly ever know what the hell she pulled.
Hmm.
Like, and it's funny to me because I think, in a way, it's really kind of twisting the knife. Like, I mean, this is the part that I think BB is so out of touch with. Mm-hmm. Like, there was kind of that comment where Trixie was like, I'm stuck between, you know, a person who doesn't know Drag Race, like, doesn't even know her own show, and someone who doesn't know what the hell a meme is. Like, in that moment, like, that moment for BB was so awful because I was like, wow, like, what planet have you been living on? Because you are missing how critical it is now that you have to be a part of the modern pop culture, like, social media situation and to understand. And if you think you can come into the show and not know anything about the competition and all the contestants and the things that have happened over the years, you're really lacking. Like, it's really shooting yourself in the foot in a way, because what if one of the challenges was to repeat something that a previous queen did? They've done that before, where you had to mimic or recreate an entire notable, like, you know, scene or whatever. Like, she would have been hosed.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so anyway, so that's of the finale. She got my eye rolls because it was bad.
It was the cherry on the top of a crown of bullshit that she gave us all season. Like, I as much as I was at first like, oh, this would be a really cool, fun twist. I was at the end of the season. It made me like her less.
Well, I didn't really like her through the season.
Well,
I was not captivated with her.
But that's what I mean. Like watching, like if BB had never been on this season, just to be right. blunt and honest, if she had never been on this season and I'd never seen this side of her, I would probably still have a, you know, pretty okay, you know, thing, you know, image of her being the first, being the, you know, first crown queen and what have you. Now, well, hell, as I've mentioned pre-show, she's going to be here on Thursday and I'm not going to be jumping. I'm not jumping out of my seat to go see her in the show. Like,
right.
For me, all it does is make me hate her even more for kicking off Aja, because I it's not that I wanted Aja to win. I just wanted to really see what she was going to bring, because I was so overly impressed with her first challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was blown away by how far she came. And I was like, Aja, you do well this entire season. And she was kicking ass up until BB was like, you know what? I don't like you just because we don't get along. And then bye.
Yeah.
Oh, I was so mad at that.
Yeah. I mean, I have to agree, Chester, that of all the contestants for All Stars 3, Aja was the most improved. Like, mm-hmm. Aja fucking slayed coming back. But Aja also said in interviews, she said, I went into season 9 thinking like, my shit don't stink, like I know what I'm doing and I got it all figured out, and then you quickly realize, oh, I don't have it all figured out. And so she said when they gave her the call for All Stars 3, she was like, what? And she was like, oh, all right. And a lot of the queens do say that. They say once you've been on the show and then you come back for All Stars, you usually understand. Like, a lot of the stuff kind of goes away because now it's no longer new and it's, you don't understand or have any experience. Yeah. You do have experience. And Aja used that time off in a way very smartly and invested highly in looks, aesthetic, talent. I mean, like, she really, I can't say it enough, really, really stepped her pussy up for All Stars. Yeah. And I have to agree, when she got sent home, I am not the least bit surprised, but a lot of people got bent out of shape and were like, what the fuck is that shit? But that's the nature of the game, to eliminate who you think is a problem or competition.
Mm.
So I also agree that I don't care for how BB like talked. Like, I was glad Aja like called it out when the girls got to come back for that episode. And she was like, you know, for episode 6, where she was like, yeah, let's talk about how you didn't give me credit for helping you with your outfit. And BB was like, why should I have to give you credit? Like, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, you, I don't use this word. Yes, thank you. I'm like, I don't use that word often or lightly, but I was like, you fucking twat.
Cunt.
You seriously cannot see how, like, how you are so self-important and you just don't get it. You just don't get it. And there's a part of me that's like, well, I don't know if I'm going to see BB on any tours, like meaning with the other Rue girls and stuff, because especially the ones that Michelle is leading and emceeing, you know, Michelle talks to Rue all the time about the shenanigans of the behavior and what goes on and who gets along with who. And, you know, and so, you know, in a way, Michelle is kind of like a den mother. And I'm like, if the girls don't like you, then they probably ain't going to get along with you. And you're not going to get, you know, booked for many things or travel much with other people. But what do I know? That being said, are we ready to move on to our closing thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, start your engines and may the best woman win.
Chester.
It was Rigamores, girl. Who's Morris? Wait. Who's Morris? Shit. So, as I've mentioned several times during this episode that we are recording, it all comes back to the unedited, edited, unaired bits mm-hmm. of clips and information and things that we don't get to see on the show until after the airing. And all of a sudden, all this other little stuff starts coming out of the woodwork, like live videos from, or not live videos, but recording of the girls at one of their shows where mm-hmm. somebody asks them a question and they start spilling the tea. You know, Chi-Chi saying, I got kicked off in the fourth episode. So I was only going by, you know, I voted for Kennedy because she's my friend. I voted for Trixie because she was there for me when I was crying. I didn't get to see what Shangela did for the rest of the show. If she had, she would have voted differently. So it's things like that that make me look at the way that the judging happened and how it was. I don't necessarily want to say that the judging was rigged, but it, to me, it was not a true representation of all of the parts as a whole.
Yeah.
When those girls came back in there, for instance, Benda La Creme, her was forced to come back and do this judging. She didn't want to do it. So it was just,
right.
it's the judging wasn't rigged in the sense of the producers, you know, made everybody a puppet. It wasn't rigged in that sense. It was just rigged in the sense of the judging was not as a whole for all of the four remaining contestants on their time there. It was only up until that queen got eliminated and prior. And I think that's complete bullshit. And I hope like fucking hell they never do voting like that again. Because at the end of the day, I'm pretty certain that the girls would have set aside their indifferences and voted differently.
Yeah. I think one of the things that is kind of getting to me, that got to me when people were talking like at the end, like after it aired, is they were all saying, oh, well, the queens were being, you know, were essentially basing their votes on who didn't eliminate me and who I liked and whatever. And I don't think that was true at all. Or never mind, I won't say at all, but I don't think that was totally true. Given what we know now, they didn't have all the information. They didn't have all the facts. They didn't know everything that was going that had happened after they left. So therefore, it wasn't, I don't think it was a fair decision. Now, yes, they get an opportunity to sit down with the queen and talk to them and all that stuff, but that's all you get, apparently all you got. You know, if you were, say, Aja, or, yeah, Aja, well, no, I'll use Thorgy as an example, because he was kind of eliminated second, or first. You know, if you were Aja, if you were her, you literally get nothing until you came back in episode 6, and then, you know, 7, you lose episode 7. So you have, what, 3, 4, 5, and then you come back at 6, and then you don't have 7. So that's 4 episodes of stuff you didn't get to see. You made no little bits and pieces, but that's it. You know, you had your little conversation, you know, congregation when you all came back, but that was it.
Right.
And the thing that bothered me the most is that people were thinking that that was, that the judging, that the jury chose because of almost superficial reasons. And I think that's not at all accurate. And I think that kind of needs to be squashed. I agree with you, Chester. I don't think they should ever do this again. Or if they do it, they need to do it right. Like, yeah, if they're going to bring the girls back, they need to, like, you are sequestered in the house and you get to see like little bits and pieces so that you know who's doing what and, you know,
right,
what have you.
I think they learned a huge lesson. I honestly think the producers and Rue collectively figured out how they got fucked in the last episode, because of what happened with the jury, they took away their ability to choose who they wanted. Mm-hmm. And while some of us for reality TV as viewers would applaud that because that it's not rigged.
Yeah.
It fell apart because you gave the voting, like you gave the limitation of who the top two were mm-hmm. to the jury, and the jury did not necessarily have all the facts and may have, you know, decided on very personal levels of certain things, which is not necessarily fair. Like, I think it would have been more dramatic and interesting if they had decided to who didn't make it to top three
mm-hmm.
and had done a three-way lip sync.
Yeah. I would have loved it if they had done just the final, like, one queen doesn't get to make it.
Right.
One queen, like, doesn't go to the end.
And actually, it probably would have been more dramatic and interesting if they had done a one queen doesn't get to do the music video and all the rest. So, like, the jury had come back earlier before the practicing and all the rest of the stuff. And then, because they've done that in the past where there's four, but only three end up ultimately, you know, uh-huh. getting the last pieces.
Again, the other thing, the other factor that people aren't, that people don't take into effect is something that people have said, like Shangela probably would have played the game differently if he had known from the beginning that there was going to be a jury. And while that's kind of true, if you know, like Big Brother and what have you, they do have those things where they do know there's going to be a jury. So they kind of play the game strategically to, like, you know, be a little bit more hospitable and friendly at the beginning, but still kind of, you know, win and maybe not win everything so that you're not always sending someone home. And then near the end, kind of build that up and start doing, you know, the things that need to be done.
Right.
So that you don't necessarily shoot yourself in the foot with a, like, you've kind of put all in the jury, all people that you've eliminated or a bunch of people that you eliminated. Again, while I can respect that and having that foreknowledge may affect how you play, I get why they didn't do that here, because it wasn't the jury picking a winner. It was the jury picking two people who then got, one of them got to win. So, yeah. But it's just, it's a thing. I don't.
So, Damon, your closing thoughts?
Oh, well, so my closing thoughts are kind of little thing. Like, congratulations, Trixie, you won. You won season 3 of All-Stars. Oh, look, here comes season 10. Like, let's just, like, blow over all of this. Like, yay, you won. And we're now going into season 10. Literally 2 days from now, we're going into season 10. No, like, few months to kind of get, like, hey, congratulations, and do whatever victory tour, what, I don't care, whatever. But, you know,
it's kind of like the pit crew is getting ready to, you know, change our gears for us so we can do another lap.
Yep. Literally.
That was really bad, but I'm not a sports guy.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. Like, we're literally, like, we're shifting gears. We're going from All-Stars 3 into season 10. And we're going to do a whole new episode. We're going to get a whole bunch of new queens. And while I don't think Trixie will ever be forgotten, I think her, as I mentioned earlier, her winning the crown is going to be effectively tainted, because there's this whole, right. like, she doesn't get any time to, like, rest in the, you know, afterglow of winning. We're literally going from season All-Star 3 to season 10 within a week.
Right.
And, like, we've heard rumors that because of the way the ending kind of went, that this was probably why they're kind of amping this up. They're pushing the fuck out of season 10. The fact that it's going to be 90 minutes and there's going to be new Untucked on VH1. It's yay, amazing. But, like, what's going to happen? Like, what's up with Trixie? Like, no one. And Sasha. I mean, Sasha will get a little bit more time because we're just now starting season 10. But it's like, Okay, you won. Yay. Good for you.
Yeah, I agree with you that, you know, it is a bit of a steamroll. Trixie doesn't get much time in the limelight. But I do not agree with what VH1 and WoW Presents have decided to do. But I understand it because they saw this coming. They knew how the end of the season plays out. And they predicted the shit raining that was going to come out of this. And so they had to figure out how to handle it, how to fix it. You know what I mean? Like how to process and how to deal with it. Unfortunately, none of them hired Olivia Pope, in my opinion. So, you know, it's like, come on. Like, yeah, you kind of had a scandal on your hands, but you didn't really do that well with it, in my opinion. It's crappy because even like, I don't know if you guys watched the pit stop with Alaska and Chad.
I did this for this one.
Yeah. So Chad's the first person in the Drag Race Hall of Fame. And then Alaska's second. Alaska has been leading these interviews all season long with previous queens from RuPaul's Drag Race. And the last one is with Chad, which I was like, oh, I'm like, well, that's pretty appropriate because this is the finale and they're talking about who is joining them. Even they talk about how they thought Shangela was like the one that did the best. And it's not meant to be insulting to Trixie, but it's one of those, like, it kind of has to be said. So yeah. I don't think they were prompted and scripted to have that conversation, but I'm glad that they did. And it's recorded and put out to the public for them to say, like, this is, we understand and recognize how it played out. However, we thought it would have gone a different way. I mean, but that was also kind of said about Bendela. Like Adore Delano was the guest with Alaska for episode 6 of Pit Stop, where they talk about, and I thought that was very strategic because Adore left in her season of All Stars. And so I was like, oh, I see what they're doing. Like they're crafting this very much. Just like I kind of think they planted Eureka O'Hara for the episode 7 because of the fat suit thing. And I'm like, that one I pick a bone with. I'm like, you're fucking too much with this whole production thing. But choosing Adore, I get it, you know, and they had a conversation about, you know, Ben choosing to leave and how she did it. And now we get Chad and Alaska and they're both like, you know, they're happy for Trixie, but it's this weird kind of thing. And only time will kind of massage things and whatever. And I find it strange that they decided to just ram straight into season 10 so hard. Because
maybe they did that because they knew they fucked up.
Right. That's what I'm saying is I think that's part of why the steamroll experience is taking place because they know how bad it is. They were just like, well, let's just move right into the next season because we have rabid fans and that's what they want. And I'm like, oh, I think you misjudged because I'm going to be honest with the two of you. I am not really excited about season 10. I'm not. I'm too focused on 8 episodes of All Stars 3. And now we're immediately running straight into season 10. And while I can appreciate that people are all excited about like the new contestants and in our COL like Drag Race Telegram chat, y'all is thirsty as motherfuck for one of the contestants. I get it. Like, especially because I haven't watched anything yet from the new season. I've been trying to stay very focused on All Stars 3 to wrap it up. But I get it because I did see a little bit of some photographs of one contestant that came into the workroom. And I was like, oh, all right. I get it. I see why some people are like, like, you know, Wile E. Coyote tongue dragging on the ground, eyeballs and, like drooling and shit. Thirsty bitches. But yeah, I don't know. Like, it's one of these things where I'm just like, damn, we're just like moving straight into the next thing. And it's just, it feels so unfair to Trixie, to Sasha, like just to so much of like, I'm like, there's a reason why shit gets spaced out. Like, yes, I realize that people get pissy and it might be like, you know, 3, 4, 6 months or whatever till the next season. But there's a reason that works so well. If you bang things out so quickly back to back, the impact is gone. Like the, you know, just a lot of stuff pays the price, the excitement, the interest. And because now I'm like, what, is there always going to be a Drag Race show on? Like literally as soon as season's 10, are we rolling into another Drag Race something or other? Cause I sure as hell hope not. Cause then I'm really going to lose interest. I hate to say it.
Yeah.
So,
and that's the other thing I'm concerned with as well, is this whole, like, here we go. And like you said, you're not as excited about season 10. I know a lot of people are. I'm kind of in the middle. Like, yes, I'm looking forward to seeing this new batch of queens. I've watched a couple of the, you know, things that are out there. Gemini, after the episode of All Stars, there's someone put together the all of the season 10 queens, like, intro videos that they do. Like, they always do Meet the Queen. So they put them all together. So we watched that. And I honestly maybe halfway through, kind of not checked out per se, but just kind of lost interest and my focus got pulled away. Not that I wasn't hating the girls, but I ended up critiquing looks and talking about, Jim and I were talking about their looks. I'm like, well, we like that. There were some girls that had these big ass fucking earrings. I was like, what the hell? Anyway, but I don't know. I'm trying to be positive about it, but right now, like you said, I don't feel like it's giving enough time. Like, there's not enough space. Like, give us a couple of weeks to kind of, like, you know, clean our TVs so we can, like, look at it and, you know, something along those lines, because it's just like, oh my God, like, here we go again. And while I respect their choice on doing it, what they're doing essentially is, not only are you bringing it back, but every episode is going to be 90 minutes, and then there's also going to be Untucked.
Right.
So it's
2 hours every Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
So
like, I'm probably going to look and see if I can subscribe, because I know for a fact in 2 weeks I'm going to be in rehearsal for Men's Chorus, and I'm not going to be able to see the show, and I now no longer have a DVR, so right. I'm going to have to do something.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah, that's one of the challenges. Like, even I hate to say it, but I too have been like, I guess I'll subscribe. That's a horrible way to phrase it. Like, that's how I feel. I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to subscribe to the next season so I can watch it. And blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You know, just, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, it's
yeah.
So my closing thoughts. I said, may the odds be ever in your favor.
Uh-huh.
And the reason I said that was because I really felt that's what the finale came down to. Like, I think Trixie honestly thought going into the finale she had a 1 in 3 chance,
yeah,
of making it to the very, very, very end. Mm-hmm. And then she says very publicly, Morgan, as the jury grand chairperson or whatever, is asked by Rue, which that was a very awkward moment. You could tell Morgan doesn't do that kind of stuff often. you know, she asked Morgan what the two lipsticks are based on points. And Morgan says Kennedy. And, you know, like, a pin could drop in the whole place.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody was expecting Kennedy's name to be first.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been second, but they didn't expect it to be first. But it makes sense for good dramatic effect. And Trixie is like, oh, I'm out. Like, if Kennedy got in to top two, I'm out, because Shangela obviously is going to be the other person for the last two. And then they announced Trixie's name, and Trixie said it literally took her seconds to catch up to reality, to realize that they said her name, and that means that Shangela is not at all going any further.
Yeah.
And so I was like, wow, like, this was not a race you could have bet on easily. We'll get to that in a second. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just the way it played out, it was kind of crazy. And then the way the jury, you know, like we've discussed, it was just so,
yeah,
odd, like random in that way. It was not perfectly lined up, and it was not an easy understanding straight ahead kind of path or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, Trixie flat out says that the Roscoe's, like, finale viewing, I performed my finale number in flats. I won without ever lip syncing and winning. I mean, like, you know, she named all these kind of stats about herself, and she's not trying to shoot herself down. She's just saying, like, if you believe all these things are necessary, like,
apparently not.
I don't know what to tell you, because
yeah,
I won. Like, then I think she's trying really hard to walk this weird, humble path of winning and knowing, in a way, she kind of won weirdly. She didn't kind of win weirdly. She did win weirdly, because I think everyone feels Shangela should have been in top two. I would have been perfectly fine with a Trixie and Shangela head to head. And I most likely would have expected Shangela to take it, even if she pulled stunts and I wasn't happy about it. Like, that's just, if you want to like forecast in that direction, that's not what happened. So I will say, when they performed the final lip sync for Your Legacy, I honestly thought it was 50-50. I did not know who Rue was going to announce. I thought Kennedy did so well in her final lip sync. I was like, there's really nothing to pick on. Like, there's really nothing outstanding. She didn't make any really mistakes. You know, she didn't pull a BB where she pulled her hair off with no hair underneath. You know, she didn't really seem to flub up lip syncing. She didn't screw up dancing. I mean, when Kennedy started with that slow descent split, I was like, well, fuck, it's over. Like, if you come out the gate with that.
It, Katya, like, you mean kind of like when Katya did her strange twist of fate and she did it just so perfectly?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kennedy's was not as perfect. It was like, and that's not a complaint.
Have shoes on.
Well, right. But also at the same time, all I kept thinking is that bitch got fucking muscle tone. Like, you cannot believe in her glutes, in her thighs, like in her core. Cause I don't see any of us bitches like doing a split, let alone just slowly descending flat to the floor while lip syncing. Like, I was just like, oh my God. And I was like, well, there's that. I'm like, cause all I kept thinking is, I don't think Trixie has anything to pull out like at that caliber at this moment. I could be surprised. I will say that the Trixie pulling the hair thing towards the end was a surprise to me. She does make a joke of that and says it was another wig. Like, I literally had a second wig. I cut pieces off the second wig and stuck them in. And then, like, did that for emotion. And then she made a crack afterwards at the Roscoe's, you know, thing and said, I didn't have rose petals. Like, like, she completely copped and owned the fact that she was pulling a stunt, because that's kind of what she thinks now is expected, which I found very interesting given our earlier conversation.
God, I hope that's not the thing.
No, I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, so may the odds be ever in your favor, because you just don't know. But I agree with you. I think the jury thing was a mistake. I think they realized and hopefully, pray to God, learned a lesson. And they're either going to fix it and do it right next time, or they're not going to do that.
Yeah,
and they're gonna go on to something else.
The main issue for me was that, again, the milkshakes ended up being point values. And we saw, everyone has seen the video probably that came out afterwards, that VH1 and whatever Wild Presents put out there, where they tell you what happened. I don't know if they mentioned that in the episode. I'd have to look again to see.
No, is where one critical mistake I think got made, Damon, was all I kept thinking is that 4 seconds or 3 seconds of computer graphic should have been in the finale, because everyone would have understood better how the final two were decided. Not like, it actually would have been way more helpful if they showed that graphic and all the final selections, like all the non-continuing queens lipsticks. If they had shown all of that stuff, I think everyone would have backed the fuck off as soon as the episode was done and not like, freaked the fuck out.
Well, I think I'm fine with them not necessarily choosing the showing the lipstick being pulled for the dramatic effect or whatever. I would have, like, I agree with you. I think they should have at least put the first pick is 2 points. The first pick is 1 point, and put that in there just so that somewhere it's mentioned
in the episode that so that people can now kind of figure out, okay, well, there's some kind of point value based on it. Therefore, that's why certain people did what they did, you know. And I appreciated them showing the video after the fact, but I would have liked a little bit more foreknowledge. Again, foreknowledge is always better than this, some of this after stuff, especially when it comes to a competition like this.
Right.
They could have said, yes, the jury is picking lipsticks. However, this is how, this is what the first choice means. This is what the second choice means. And then let the jury pick their lipsticks. And then you now know the first lipstick is going to be two. The first lip's going to be one. You don't know who is what, but now you then get a better understanding of just how well it went. Because if you look at the video, Kinley was the forerunner probably right till like near the end, till like midway.
Right.
I think it was Milker. Can't remember. Someone, it was one of the ones in who middle where it kind of changed. It started going. Right. So.
Yeah. Right. And it is, it's bad because in the actual episode, you don't know how many votes Shangela got. And then right after the finale airs, within the next 24 hours, they put that video out online explaining the 2 points, the 1 point, and here's how everybody voted. And that's when you find out Shangela got one vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, like that's crippling to discover that you had no chance.
Mm-hmm.
Like it becomes so abundantly clear why Kennedy and Trixie were the top two, because BB wasn't given much of a chance and Shangela was given no chance. Like that's it's so weird, but I agree with you, Chester. I think that that video of Chi Chi at the bar performing and speaking on the microphone is so not damning, it's so like whistleblowing in a weird way to say, I did not know so much of what I know from now watching the show. Like, I feel like a dumbass. This isn't what Chi Chi said, but this is my interpretation. Her reaction basically is like, I fucked up.
She's smacking her microphone on her forehead. She's like, girl, I'm like this.
Right. Like she thinks she screwed Shangela out of her spot. But the truth is, even with Chi Chi voting differently, it wouldn't have changed things that dramatically. But that's why I say
you have to take into consideration all the other people too. Probably would have, you know, we'll never know.
Yeah.
But there's a good chance that they may have voted differently.
Right. And that's the what I was saying in the Telegram group is this really does change the viewpoint, because potentially the other queens could, you know, also be in the same camp of, had I known, I would have chose differently. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I mean, in a weird way, there's a part of me that's like, well, we asked for this. Like, we begged and screamed and hollered and threw temper tantrums and campaigned online to have All-Star Season 2. Like, it was rumored, and every time Rue spoke publicly and Michelle did, it was like, we want All-Stars. So we got All-Stars 2, and everybody was like happy. And then we get to the finale and Alaska freaks out and everybody else freaks out because Alaska freaks out, and then the whole snake campaign comes about and people are pissed, and there's this whole $10,000 payoff thing and blah, blah, blah. You know, all this shit happens.
Hey, pal.
Right. And then we get the finale and everybody calms down, and most people have seemed to have like chilled the fuck out about Alaska getting into the Hall of Fame. And then we move on and we have season 9. And then all of a sudden we're back into another All-Stars, which I was so surprised, because I was like, you know, it would be good if you'd wait every 3-4 fucking seasons for an All-Star and create a pattern so we could be used to like, you know, how it's going to work. But no, you know, there's just so much, you know, that is so weird about the way things played out. And there's other things like, I think it's Trixie says in that video that they actually, I think Willem kind of spills a little tea, because that's what Willem's used to doing, that 7 queens turned down coming back to All-Stars. So if that's true, that's even more damning against the show and its legacy and some other things that like the 10 that we got were a mix because of others not agreeing or deciding to come back. And like, I'm not trying to like be shady about it, but I'm just like, it's so complex, this entire thing. And now we're moving on to season 10. I'm like, you know, for a little show that started as like kind of a thing, it's turned into a whole industry and all this other stuff, you know. And I love the fact that Trixie, a lot of the queens now are very much speaking publicly about when they perform at venues, they're like, support your local queens. Like Trixie flat out says in that video from Roscoe, she's like, 5 years ago, you could have seen Kimchi, Shay, and myself for a total of $5 cover at a bar. None of us had been on Drag Race yet. So you just don't know who your local queens are and how talented they are. You've got to support them. You've got to give them a chance. And a lot of these queens are very much like kind of pushing on that, because like the Lady Bunny thing that I watched recently where she got interviewed, she flat out said there's drag queens and then there's RuPaul drag queens, and they are not the same thing. And it's not to be shady. She's just like, being on the show is one thing, but being a local queen, being a queen who works circuits that does not go on that show, is a total other thing. So be aware that not all drag queens are equal, and not all drag queens are the only ones that are on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
So
somebody had made a good point. This is, I remember reading this a while ago, that we as a gay community, yes, it's great that we are embracing Drag Race as a whole. And it's great that we have something mainstream that we can align ourselves to, but we are forgetting that there is a whole world of drag queens right outside our back door that we can go support right now. And we don't. We just support this because it's on television.
Yeah.
And it's accessible.
Right. Yeah. It's very interesting to think about that when like the thing for me that has always been, I can't get to shows as often. Like I mentioned the whole like BB coming here on Thursday, and that's probably going to be a big thing. It will be a big thing, I'm sure. But she's coming, and it's not going to be, she's not getting, we're not paying $100 to see her. Obviously we're going to, it's not that much. You are paying a little bit more because normally the cabaret here has no cover. So all you do, granted, you, if you want a seat, you probably need to reserve it, and that you do have to pay for. But you can go see us. You can see, you could probably go see some really awesome queens without even having to pay a cover at all. Right.
And that's one of the things that, you know, I mean, I know that all three of us have, you know, certain kind of tastes and quality and expectations. And we've talked openly about like, you go and you see a queen who's not a RuPaul queen or even a RuPaul queen, you have a certain expectation. And it's kind of like, girl, you busted. Like, no, that's not, you know, like there's aesthetic, there's art, and then there's just no. You know, and so that's kind of, you know, an unfortunate circumstance that, you know, we've got this going on. But I'm curious to see how things develop, especially, you know, in the years to come and with the new season that's starting up. And I'll probably watch it live on Thursday night in two nights. But I say it with a sigh because I'm not excited about it. But who knows? Maybe the first episode will really excite me because, I mean, Christina Aguilera is on and I do like her. So at least there's one person that will draw my interest enough to pay attention to. That said, we are ready to wrap up the show. I have a thing in here about Fantasy League. Damon, I think you were the only one that was kind of doing it.
Yeah.
Out of us.
Certainly. Let me check really quickly just to be.
I would be curious how many people's Fantasy Leagues got fucked over because of Ben De La Creme.
Oh, mine did.
I know a lot of people that it did affect very openly said, I got screwed. Like, well, there went that.
Yeah. So my total was 2,762 points. My overall rank was 7,891 or 90. Yeah. 91 or 91st.
Yeah.
So, but I got 419 points for this last episode, which is kind of cool. I think that's the most I've ever gotten.
Okay. Well, I'll be curious to see if they continue the fantasy league for season 10 or not. I found it as a very odd new element to add to things. I was kind of like, oh, that's so interesting. We're adding math and sports type stuff to Drag Race, you know, like, yeah, maybe in Vegas they bet, you know, on episode to episode or whatever, like seriously real life gambling with real life money. But I was like, okay, I don't know. Yeah. Like, I tried to do it with the Oscars over a year ago, I think, with something mm-hmm. online, and then I just couldn't keep up, and I was like, oh, I'm out. Fuck this shit. Like, I can't. Just, it's not in me to do that. So,
mm-hmm.
that being said, we're going to wrap up the show. If you want to get in touch with us, there's plenty of ways to do it. You can go to our website, which is cubsoutloud.com, obviously. You can send us an email at cubsoutloud@gmail.com. You could also leave us a voice message, and we would play it on the show, or you can call us. To do that, it's 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-265-8255. Obviously, for social media, you can find us by typing in Cubs Out Loud, all as one word. That can be done at Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, all that jazz. So since we talked a lot about it tonight, COL Drag Race has its own group on Telegram. So you can join us for chatting at tinyurl.com/telegram-COLDR. COLDR in caps. And then you'll be able to join us over there. Probably continuing on in season 10, what we tend to do is when the episode airs, everybody does a check-in on when they've seen the episode. So we don't try to spoil it for ourselves within our little group. So we're a very happy family that way. over on bearunderground.net, you could say hello over there and follow things that we post for Scalewell there. Of course, you can go to iTunes and you could rate us if you want to. You can also go to Stitcher Radio and give us a thumbs up. And in case you hadn't heard, we have this thing called a merch store on Zazzle.com. And you could buy some COL swag over there. And coming soon, maybe, you might see something that kind of looks like this a little bit that I'm wearing.
Look at you!
So Chester in the Telegram group says, wait till you see what I'm wearing tomorrow. And I was like, oh, that son of a bitch. He did what I did. I'm like, this is going to be too funny. And then he shows up with a fucking leather crown. And I was like, oh.
I have just two things to say to you, Gary. This.
of All Stars Log, all of AS3, every time we do a show, I was like, damn it, I need a Drag Race shirt. I have no drag shirts. Honestly, I have no drag merch for anybody. So I don't have a single shirt or a hat or nothing from any of the queens, not even Bianca Del Rio when I saw her on her one tour. I haven't. And it's not that I'm not supportive. It's just, I don't know, like nothing's really grabbing at me. So, and then I was like, you dipshit, you got the image. Get the shirt made through Zazzle. So this is not officially in the store right now, but it probably will be very, very, very soon.
Wait. I have a question. Is this why you would ask me for a better high resolution version of that logo that I created?
No, that was for the Telegram thing. That was
okay
back when we started the Telegram group. But I've had it, and then I think Jeff actually asked for this. So so this one is so it's pink fill-in, and it's got the crown. It says Drag Race on it, and then it's got our stuff on the back. So, but I you probably can't tell because my light is so bright, but this is actually a pink shirt. It looks probably
I can kind of tell. Yeah, I can tell it's not white.
Yeah. So it's actually pink. So, but when we add it to the Zazzle store, you'll see, and then you could probably get it in some.
You should make sure that you wear that a drenched fur and invite me to your room.
Okay.
To take pictures.
Right. Yeah, because I'm totally not gonna rifle through your luggage looking for it.
I was like, well, that's an interesting kind of kink/fetish whatever request that like you want me to wait. I'm like, okay,
bitch. Oh, look
and
at
who
this
knows, maybe y'all as my co-host will be gifted with one at some point. Although daddy needed a job first. That's a whole other subject.
I was going to say.
Yeah, that being said, if you would like to find me online or get in touch and you want to talk about things Drag Race or otherwise, you can pretty much find me anywhere on the web as GareBear73. That's GareBear73. Damon?
And if you want to find me, you can find me as TheaterCup79 on many social media sites, or you can find me as Pup_Umbra on Twitter.
You can find me on Tumblr or Twitter under the name The Pup Up There, or once season 10 starts, I'm probably going to be watching it live in a Columbus bar somewhere, or various bear dating sites across the net under the name Pup Shutter or Cup.
All right. And with that, we're going to do the traditional Kitty Girl outro because I didn't think about whether or not I should have tried to get the new remixed version with the final four queens. Nah. But yeah. That's okay.
I don't like it.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
I mean, maybe if they can cut out BB's portion of it.
Shit. Where's that Shade fan? Ooh. Get that out there. Damn.
At least she didn't go that was. You know, because those are, you know, winning lyrics right there.
With that said, let's finish up and get out of here.